I'd like to invite you all to open up your Bibles, and we'll hear from the Word of God today, starting with Leviticus chapter 16. It'll go 1 to 17 and then continue on from 29, so I'll let you know what then happens. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it as a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering and make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the tablets of the covenant law so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger 7 times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place, because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. And continuing from verse 29. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or a foreigner residing among you, because on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then, before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a day of Sabbath rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance. The priest who is anointed and ordained to succeed his father as high priest is to make atonement. He is to put on the sacred linen garments and make atonement for the most holy place, for the tent of meeting and the altar, and for the priests and all the members of the community. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. And it was done as the Lord commanded Moses.
And the second reading tonight is Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 1 to 18, and can be found on page 1038 of the Church Bibles. So that's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you are not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Christina. Thanks, Anthony. My name is Paul, if I haven't met you. It's lovely to see you this evening. We are in a series on the cross of Christ. And last week we looked at the topic of sin and why the cross was necessary. My job tonight is to look at the theme of sacrifice. What it really meant for Jesus to be a sacrifice for our sins. So when I pray, we'll look at Leviticus chapter 16. So turn back to Leviticus 16 on page 99, and I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight because you are good, you are kind, you are loving. Father, we know that because you have sacrificed your son for us. So give us understanding tonight of what that really means. Help us to see in greater depth and with more clarity who Jesus was, what he did for us. Open our eyes that we might see Jesus again. In his name, amen. You ever met those people who ooze confidence? When you meet them, they are so secure as to who they are that they won't let you define them. They know who they are. When they walk into a room, they stand upright, they stand tall, they are confident. When they walk into a restaurant, they might not have any booking, but they walk into a restaurant assured and confident they will get the table in that restaurant. You ever met those people? They are so self-assured, you might say. And my claim to you tonight is that if you're a believer in Christ, that you should have that same confidence, that you should be assured as to who you are. You don't let other people define you because God defines you. You are confident in God's eyes. You are fully forgiven and fully cleansed, and you're fully known by him. You are assured, you are confident that you are known by God, you are loved by God, you are cherished by God, and you're clean in his sight. There's a verse on the screen from Hebrews chapter 10, the verse we just had read, it continues, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, therefore, friends here tonight, since we have confidence, we have boldness to enter that most holy place where God dwells, we can boldly come into the presence of a holy God by the blood of Jesus." That's the new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is the body of Jesus. And since we have a great priest whose name is Jesus, he is over the house of God. Keep going. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance, with full confidence that Faith brings having your heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. See those words? You are confident and you are assured. You are bold and you are certain. Does that describe you tonight? When you think about the cross of Christ, when you think about the blood of Jesus, do you know, are you sure that you're fully forgiven? When you think that Jesus' blood was shed for you, are you confident that you are cleansed and washed and clean in his sight? When you think about the blood of Jesus, are you confident and assured that you have total access to a holy God? You can come into his presence any time, of any hour, of any day, and you can know him and love him because he knows you and loves you. Does that describe you? Confident, certain, assured? And we sing about it, don't we? There's a great hymn called Man of Sorrows. Sadly, the modern version misses out the best verse. It's on the screen. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a saviour. Full atonement, can it be? And the answer is yes. That's my aim tonight, to show you that you can be fully atoned, fully forgiven, fully cleansed, and have full access to a holy God. You've got to understand that word atonement. The dictionary defines atonement as an action to make amends, an action to restore a relationship. Christians often define atonement as at-one-ment. At-one-ment. You're at one with your maker. You're at one with your God. You're at one with your creator. It's always through a sacrifice, always through blood being shed. And this is the claim of Jesus, that at one moment 2,000 years ago, full atonement was made. At one moment 2,000 years ago, the perfect sacrifice was made. At one moment, blood was shed so that you can sit here tonight fully confident and fully assured. That's the need for atonement, the need for atonement. I love those movies where, you know, there's a movie where they have the outtakes afterwards. So you sit there, you watch the credit rolls, and then you see all the outtakes, all the behind-the-scenes things that didn't quite work. And it reminds me, you know, that God has all those behind-the-scene takes of my life. All the stuff that I don't want the public to see, he sees. All the stuff that I don't want you to see, God sees. He knows that word I spoke in haste. He sees that thought I had in my mind when I was speaking to you. He sees my filthy rags. He knows it all. What we call sin. We saw that last week, Romans 3, that there is no one righteous, not even one. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. And that is one reason we need atonement, is our sin. But there's another reason. The flip side of the coin is God's holiness. If God wasn't holy, there could possibly be some way to deal with our sin. The reason that you and I need atonement is that because God is holy, God is pure, God is other, God is set apart. Remember the Isaiah 6, where Isaiah sees that vision of God on his throne, and those creatures, the seraphim, are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Not just holy, not just holier, but holier than holy. He is totally other, totally perfect, and totally unapproachable. God's justice means that he cannot allow sin to go unpunished. God's justice means he can't sweep sin under the carpet. That would be unjust. But God's holiness, God's otherness, means that we cannot come into his presence. No one can see a holy God face to face and live. Don't think you can waltz into God's presence with your sin undealt with. We deserve to die in his presence. And that's the real reason we need atonement. On the screen there's a picture of Her Majesty the Queen. It's from the 1966 World Cup final. Soccer World Cup, that is. And England won it. And that's Bobby Moore, who is receiving the trophy from Her Majesty. If you watch the video, Bobby Moore, the captain of the England team, as he climbed the steps, he does this with his hands all the way up the steps. And an interview after, he said, all I could see was her pristine white gloves and all I could see was my filthy, grubby hands. And he's desperate to be clean as he comes into her presence. And you know, you and I are not just grubby hands, we've got grubby hearts. We've got dirty, filthy, wretched hearts. And we can't wipe our sin clean by rubbing our hands. We can't come into his presence without someone cleansing us. That's atonement. We need someone to cleanse us and someone to wash us and someone to wipe us clean. I want to imagine you're flying in a plane and you're being chased by a heat-seeking missile and you're ducking and you're diving to try and avoid this collision course with this heat-seeking missile, but you can't shake it off. The only way to avoid that disaster, the only way to avoid destruction is if another plane comes in between you and another plane sacrifices himself and blocks out your heat from this heat-seeking missile. That's like us. We are that plane, not giving off heat, but giving off sin. We miss the mark. We cross boundaries. We ignore God. We don't revere God. And God is like that heat-seeking missile. Not heat-seeking, but he's a wrathful God. He's angry at sin. So for atonement, we need something or someone to come between us. You actually need three things for atonement. They're three big words that are on the screen. You need expiation, you need propitiation, you need purification. You need expiation. You need your sins to be covered. You need your sins to be blocked out by another person, another object. You need your guilt to be removed. That's what Jesus does. 1 John chapter 2 says Jesus is the expiation for our sin. He covers our sins. But more than that, you need propitiation. You need God's wrath to be dealt with, God's anger to be dealt with. You need God's wrath to be appeased, turned away from you and poured onto somebody else. That's called propitiation. 1 John chapter 4, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his son as a propitiation for our sins. But more than your sins covered and more than God's wrath turned away, you also need purification. You need to be seen as clean. You need to be washed and cleansed and free from the stain of sin. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11, you are washed. You are sanctified in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that is atonement. Those three things coming together: expiation, sins covered; propitiation, God's wrath turned away; purification, you being washed and cleansed. And they come together at one moment in history. It's called the old rugged cross. To be right with a holy God, to be in the presence of a holy God, you need your sins covered, you need God's wrath turned away, and you need to be cleansed. That is atonement. Now, 3,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, God's people were very aware of their need for atonement. Because God dwelt in their midst, didn't he? The holy God was dwelling among his people in the tabernacle, and there was smoke and there was fire. It was sensual, and they were very aware of the dangers of coming into contact with the holy God. Leviticus 16, verse 1 talks about the death of these two sons. Their names are Nadab and Abihu. And these two men were foolish enough to think they could approach a holy God on their terms. And they died. Verse 2, tell your brother Aaron, he's not to come whenever he chooses the most holy place, or else he will die. Have you grasped that? You cannot just waltz into the presence of a holy God on your terms without your sins being covered and cleansed. Otherwise, you will die. So God established this sacrificial system where animals were slaughtered and blood was shed. Hebrews 9 verse 22 says this, it's on the screen, without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But blood being shed sacrifices being made. That was God's chosen mean to cleanse you, to forgive you. And for God's people then, all around there was a stench of death because blood was everywhere. That was God's partial solution, the blood of animals. God's people needed to be cleansed. So God said, take an animal, sacrifice an animal, shed the blood, and I will cleanse you. So Aaron, he's the high priest. And verse 3, he's to enter the most holy place, to come before a holy God. But he must first bring a young bull as a sin offering. In verse 6, Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin. His own sin needs to be cleansed. His own sins need to be forgiven. And then verse 7, he's to take two goats. One is a sin offering and one is what's called a scapegoat. And I think we get the scapegoat. We get the idea of substitution. We'll look at that next week. But tonight, let's look at this sin offering, the sin offering goat. We're told in verse 15, he's to slaughter this goat, to shed the blood and to take the blood behind the curtain and to sprinkle the blood on the atonement cover. Verse 16, in this way, he will make atonement. He will expiate, he will propitiate, he will purify the most holy place because of the uncleanness, because of the sin of the Israelites. That's what's happening at this Day of Atonement. Blood is shed. Not just once a year, actually. If you were an Israelite, then twice a day you would get an animal, a sheep, a bull, a dove, a pigeon, whatever, and you would slaughter it and blood would be shed. That's God's chosen mean of atonement. It says in Leviticus 17:11, it's on the screen again, for the life of the creature is in the blood. And I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It's the blood that makes atonement for one's life. When blood is shed, a life is taken. But instead of a human life, an animal's life is shed. And instead of staining as sin, as blood should, paradoxically, this blood, it cleanses and this blood washes and this blood covers our sin. And I hope you spotted it, that this blood is everywhere. It's sprinkled on the atonement seat. It's sprinkled on the altar. It's sprinkled on the person. Can you imagine being an Israelite and you walk into the temple and there's blood everywhere, it stinks of death. And the priest gets some blood and he sprinkles it over you and you're dripping in blood. That is the symbol of how costly it is to cleanse you and to forgive you and to restore you. We're told in verse 30, on this day, on the Day of Atonement, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you, to wash you, and you'll be clean from your sins. It sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds good until you sin again. So what do you do when you sin again? You get another animal and sacrifice again. So see, the forgiveness here, the cleansing is here. It's all temporary. It's all repetitive. Yes, God is gracious and God is merciful. He gave them a way of being cleansed, but they had to keep on repeating it day after day and year after year, and they were never, ever confident. They were never certain. They were never sure. It's what Hebrews 10 says, verse 4 is on the screen. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That's the lack of assurance. They had no confidence. Had their sins really been taken? What happened if they stuffed up again? Can you imagine that you walk out of this ceremony and then you see somebody that you have a disagreement with and you've got that harsh word on your tongue. You stuffed up again. Get another animal, slaughter it again. And what happens if you happen to die before you offer your next sacrifice? How are you going to approach God then? And I hope you realize that only one man, the high priest Aaron, could actually come into the presence of God. He then mediated to God's presence to the other people. Now, God was gracious, but the Day of Atonement, it was a partial solution. Every year, going through these rituals. Let me ask you a question. Who here went to Woolworths this afternoon and purchased your animal for church tonight? Who's brought your live goat and your live sheep or your bull or your pigeon? Where are they? bring them to the front, and I've got my knife here, and I want to slaughter the animal, and I'm going to shed some blood. And look around you. Why is this church so clean? Why doesn't it stink of blood? Why aren't the walls covered in blood? And why aren't you dripping in blood? You need to be cleansed. You need blood to be shed for you. So why haven't you done it? And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is the cross of Christ. That was God's perfect solution. The book of Hebrews is like a commentary on Leviticus. Hebrews 10 in page 1038, it reminds us that Christ sacrificed himself once for all. Hebrews 10 verse 10 says this, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Verse 11, day after day, every priest stands and performs religious duties. Again and again, these Old Testament priests were offering the same sacrifices, but they could never take away sins. But when this priest, the Lord Jesus, had offered himself for all time one sacrifice for sins, Jesus sat down. And that's what Jesus was doing at the cross, a once for all time sacrifice. The perfect, sinless man shed his blood to cleanse you, to forgive you and give you full access to God. The prayer book says this. It says, "He made the once for all sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world." It never needs to be repeated. You and I never need to bring an animal again because his blood was all sufficient. Now here's what's really beautiful. The blood of animals dealt with the outward sin. They dealt with the sins, the consequences of sin. But the cause, the heart of the issue, the heart problem wasn't dealt with. Look at the word of God, Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14. Hebrews 9, verse 13, "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so they are outwardly clean, externally clean. How much more then with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from the acts that lead to death." Now that's the cross of Christ, that's the blood of Jesus, not an external cleaning, but an internal cleaning. So you and I can stand here today, or sit here today, fully cleansed and fully clean and fully forgiven. Let me have a pastoral moment. You might be here tonight and you're carrying the burden, you're carrying a weight of some sin. There's something about your past or something about your present that you hope and long that no one will ever find out about you. And you're weighed down with guilt. And you're sitting here and that's affecting your relationship with God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you from that sin. Whatever it is, it's been cleansed of. The blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven you of that sin. Whatever it is, you have been forgiven. Do not let other people define you by some past sin. Don't let anybody define you or shame you by something you've done. It's like saying the blood of Jesus didn't pay for that or didn't cover that. Why are you allowing the burden of that guilt or the burden of that shame in some way hamper your relationship with God? He has washed you. He has cleansed you. He has forgiven you. You're pure in his sight. He calls you holy. Please leave here tonight liberated from that sin. But it might be the opposite problem. You might be here and you call yourself a Christian, but you don't really care about your sins. "Oh, the blood of Jesus, that's cleansed me. I'm forgiven." Have you grasped what it cost God to forgive you? You don't have to bring an animal because his perfect son shed his blood for you. And when you've grasped that, it's that motivation that you do not keep on sinning. You throw off the sin that entangles you. But there's one more thing. God's people could never really enter into the presence of a holy God, could they? They needed a priest. They needed a sacrifice. Can I say that we don't have any priests in church? Well, we do have priests. You're all priests. But I'm not a priest any more than you are. Because Jesus is the high priest, you don't need somebody to make a sacrifice on your behalf because Jesus has paid it for you. We have no altar here in church. This is not an altar. This is just a table. We're not offering a sacrifice. When we take bread and wine tonight, we're not reenacting the cross. It happened once and for all time. It's done. There is no altar. There is no priest, just the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the priest. He is on the altar. He has been sacrificed once and for all time. And that means that unlike the Israelites, we have full access into the presence of a holy God. You can talk to God anytime, any place. He is with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. More than that, he's dwelling actually in you by his Spirit, isn't he? That's amazing. The holy God dwelling within me by his Spirit, because he sees me as clean, he sees me as washed, he sees me as holy because the blood was shed. That is quite extraordinary. Guilty, vile, and helpless we. That's right, we are. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement? Can it be? Yes, it can. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Let me pray. How much more will the blood of Christ cleanse our consciences? Our Father, we are so thankful that blood was shed. Father, we are so thankful that the sinless one, the Lord Jesus, would shed his own blood on our behalf. Father, we're amazed that you cleanse us, that you wash us, that you purify us, so we're seen as pure in your sight. Father, for anyone here tonight who is weighed down by guilt, Father, please cleanse their consciences. Father, thank you that you are dwelling here and we can know you as our holy God.